Begin the current daf, Masech des Chulin daf vav. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we opened up our Masech, our Mishnah, talking about Hakol Sheichnin, V'Shechitas and Kshera. We had a few different interpretations. What is Hakol coming to include? That would sound like Likatchila. And then there's a case that would sound like only B'diavad. So there were two interpretations that said it's referring to Kuti. Just depending what's the case, Likatchila. Is it specifically Yisrael's Imin al-Gabav, or if even the B'ziyot B'nichnas? That the Gemara had said, that although that was the halacha in the times of the Mishnah when redacted by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, but then later on Rabbi Gamliel Ubeis Dinai, they then instituted that entirely it's going to be invalid, the slaughtering of a kuti. And that a Gemara says, my time of Gazu Barabban, what's the reason why the rabbis decreed that the shechita of a kuti is going to be not valid? Says the Gemara, ki hadr b'shimin al-Lazar, like we find the incident with b'shimin al-Lazar. That Shadre Reb Meir lasuye chamer mibeich kutayi. Reb Meir sent Reb Shimon Lazar to go bring wine from the Kuthians, which were there in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. Ashkech Ahu Saba, now an elderly individual, encountered Reb Shimon Lazar when he was on his way to go to the Kuthians, and Amalei, and he said to him, quoting a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, says Vesamta Sakin Bilaecha, should place a knife by your jaw. In other words, it's a euphemism of hold on tight to your inclination, meaning hold back and don't do this. In bal nefeshata, if you're a man of spirit, meaning if you're an upstanding person, as we find this terminology in Psachim, that a bal nefesh won't chew the grain, meaning an adam kasher, then you'll hold yourself back and you won't buy the wine from the Kuthians. Now, halach Reb Shimon al-Lazar. So Reb Shimon al-Lazar went back, b'sibah devarim lefnei Reb Meir, and he said over what happened to Reb Meir. The Gazralin, and they decreed that the wine of the Kuthians is forbidden, just like that of Akam of non-Jews, of idolaters. Says Gemara, my time, what's the reason? So Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, because he says, Demus Yoyin Matulahen Beresh Har Grizim, because they found an image of a dove on the top of Mount Grizim, which there were those Kuthians that lived there on Har Grizim, that they served, they worshipped that dove. And therefore they became Mumar, and they became considered renegade Jews in the area of idolatry. Now, although the majority of the Kuthians are not from Har Grizim, there were some that lived in Har Grizim, but not the majority. However, this incident is with Remeyu, who made the Gzeira, and he goes according to his understanding that he's concerned for even a minority. As the Gemara Yevamos brings Hamach Aleph from Abayz, the Halacha Remeyu says that a minor boy and a minor girl are not allowed to do Chalitza and Yibim. If, let's say, the woman was a minor and her husband died, and now without any children, so her brother-in-law, if either she's a minor or he's a minor, they cannot do chalitza or yibum. So they said to Reb Meir, we understand why you would say they cannot do chalitza, because it says in the parasha, ish, you have to be an adult. But why cannot the boy or the girl do yibum if they're a minor? So he says, because by a minor, we don't know yet, he hasn't reached the age of maturity. We don't know, he might be a sris, he might be sterile. Or the minor girl might be an islandess. And then it's going to come out, if they're doing yibum with a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, that's an erva. And it's only permitted if he's not a sris and she's not an islandess. We don't know, and they might be. And they might be violating the issa of erva of eshesach. And he doesn't say that, well, majority of boys and girls are generally not srisim and islandess. He is concerned with the minority, and v'gazer ruba ato mi'uta. He decrees on the majority because of the minority, and therefore he says by yibum chalitza, the minors cannot do yibum. And so it's over here, since even though there was a minority of kuthim that were doing avodah zarah, he's put them all in that category and said that all of them are considered as avodah zarah, as akum. Now, the Gemara, once we introduced the pasuk that was in that incident, that elderly person, or was it Eliyahu Navi, that told him that hold yourself back and don't go to the Gathians, Pashti the Krub Mike Siv, asked the Gemara, what's the simple translation of that pasuk? Says the Gemara, it's Betamara Yoshlav Nei Rabbi. It's referring to a student that's sitting in front of his teacher. The Tanya Rabbi, like Rabbi Torah Brisa. The pasuk before that initially says, Kiseishev Lulchem Es Moshe. When you're sitting down, Lulchem is from the word of, it can mean to fight, but the word is also Lechem, to eat bread with the ruler, which referring to a gadol b'Torah, a great person in Torah, meaning one's teacher. So says the pasuk, bin tovin esasha lefanecha, truly understand that which is in front of you, v'sam tesakin b'leyecha, and put a knife by your jaw, in bal nefeshata, if you're a man of spirit. What does that mean? So explains Reb Chiya, im yedea talmud b'rabba, if a student knows regarding his teacher, that he was going to ask him a question, she yedea lehachz leitam, that he'll know how to answer him something that's reasonable, so then understand it, meaning ask your Rebbe that question. But Vimlav, if you don't think he's going to have an answer for you, then Tavin Isasha Lefanecha, then understand that which is in front of you, meaning from yourself. In other words, don't ask the teacher and embarrass him. And Vesamta Sakin Beleacha, which is the next pasuk that it says, put a knife by your jaw, means to say that hold yourself back by your mouth from asking. Now the pasuk concludes, in Bal Nefeshata, if you're a man of spirit and you have a desire to ask and to get to the truth and to get to the core of what you're learning about, so what should such a student do if his Rebbe is not going to be able to answer him? Then pray Shem, and that's saying then separate yourself from such a teacher and go find the answers elsewhere. Now going back to this theme regarding the prohibition of the status of the kutim, which we mentioned regarding their yayin, considered yayin nesach. Now similarly regarding the context of our halacha, of our sugya, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef shad Rebbe Vo. He sent Rebbe Vo had sent him lasu yicham Rebbe Kutay to go bring wine from the Kuthians. Ashkeche hu saba. So again, an elderly one encountered him, and Amalei said to him, "Les kan shem yitar. There's no one here that keeps the Torah over here. Don't go and buy wine from them." So halach Rebbe Yitzchak v'sibe dvarim lefnei Rebbe Vo. So Rebbe Yitzchak went back to the one who sent him, and he said over in front of Rebbe Vo. Halach Rebbe Vo v'sibe dvarim lefnei Rebbe Ami Rebbe Asi. So Rebbe Vo went and said it over in front of Rebbe Ami Rebbe Asi. And they didn't lean from that convening until they made them bona fide, full-fledged, considering the status of Kutim, which had a questionable status because they really converted to Judaism, they considered them as totally non-Jews. So that is the Gemara Lamai. For what? If it's regarding their slaughtering and their Yai Nesach, but it's already from the Tanoic times that they already made this decree. Remeir, as we brought that incident, was regarding the wine. And Gamliel, who that's the sugi we had in the previous stuff, which is following that theme, who came afterwards, his decree was treating them as non-Jews regarding the slaughtering. So for what else were we considering them as non-Jews? Says the Gemara, you're right, it was from the same areas of halacha, but in Hu Gazer V'le Kibla Minai, Remeir and Gamliel, they made the decree to treat the Kuthians as Akum, as non-Jews, but the Jewish people didn't accept it. They later on, in later generations, they made the same decree, and then the Jewish people accepted it. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not because Rabbami and Rabbasi were greater than Remeir and Gamliel. It's just that in the generations of Remeir, the Jewish people couldn't accept to separate from the Kathims because they were very much part of the Jewish fabric. In the generations of Rabbami, they weren't so much connected, and therefore they were able to separate, and therefore that's when they accepted the decree of treating them as Akum. But the Gemara asks on the terminology, my Evdikhab Gamurin, what does it mean that they said they considered them as totally non-Jews, as if it's for a large extent of the halacha? We know it's for the same thing as Shechita and the Yayin. So Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he says, it's Lavatl Rishus Valitin Rishus. In regards to the laws of Shabbos, of Erevin, to nullify one's domain or to give it over as a gift. Meaning if, let's say, a Kuti was living in a Mavui would be comparable to like a dead end, which you have many different courtyards opening up into the common street that then goes into the Rishus HaRabim, that if he's part of that, the Jewish people want to make an Erev so that they can carry, they would have to rent his domain. Even if he already gifted it to them, it's not considered nullified until they actually rent it from him, which is the same halachic status that applies to a non-Jew. Because in contrast, a Jew who forgot and did not participate in the Erev to give food towards that with the rest of the people, the Mavoi, and he's dwelling over there, and he therefore makes it forbidden because everyone has to be considered as if it's one domain. That's only if everyone gave together and put it in one of the houses or one of the courtyards. What he could do is he could just nullify his domain. In contrast, a non-Jew, it won't work until the Jew actually rents it from him, as the Gemara explains this in the Erevin Naf Samach Tesma Beis. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying, that what did they say they consider him as Ibdi Kachab Gumurin? It was even in regards to nullifying his domain, that no, we don't consider him as Yisrael at all, even in that regard, and that they would have to rent from him his house, his courtyard, to be able to consider it as all one area for the Jewish people to carry over there. Okay, the time, like, learn the Braisa. Yisrael Mumur Mishamer Shabbat Beshuk. A renegade Jew, if he at least keeps Shabbos out in the street, out in the public, even though he's a renegade to desecrate Shabbos in private in his own home, we consider him as a Jew in this regard, and therefore if he didn't make an Erev together with his neighbors, in the courtyard or in the Mavoi, Mevatl Rishos, Benayis Rishos, he could just nullify his domain, or he could give them as a gift of his domain, and that's enough. But v'she'ein meshab meshabat b'shuk. But if it doesn't keep Shabbos even out in the open, then einam about the roshos v'neis meshus. Then he cannot just nullify his domain or to give over his domain to the Jewish people. Now, the reason is because they said, Yisrael Nisn Rishos Umavat Rishos. Only a Jew could do this, to nullify or to gift his domain. But by a non-Jew, it's until you rent it from him, and if he's desecrating Shabbos in the public, then it's considered like a non-Jew. And that's what we're saying, that's the same thing we consider the Kutin of the Kachav Gemur, and even in this regard too, that it's until you rent it from him, he wouldn't be able to nullify or to gift. As the Brice explains, Ketzad, how does it work by a Jew? Amar Lo, he just tells to him, Rishusi Kenuyelach, my domain is acquired to you. Rishusi Mevatelislach, my domain is nullified to you. And Kana, then the one who's holding the Erevin, which we consider the whole area as one big Rishusi Yachad, because it's considered his home, he acquires it. Ve'inatzarach lezakis. And the person, the real owner, doesn't have to merit him like by doing a kin chalipin. You don't have to do an actual kinyan. It's enough to just nullify it or to tell him that it's acquired to him. That's how it works by a Jew. And again, regarding Kutim, we said that even regarding that, we don't consider him a Yisrael, and we consider him as an Akuman, that it's only going to be valid, the Eruv, if they actually rent from him his domain. Now the Gemara goes back to a theme that was mentioned in the previous stuff. Reb Zera v'Reb Asi iklu lepunda kutiyi. Reb Zera and Reb Asi, they went to an inn in this place called Yi. Now, the people of that town were ignoramuses, amaratzim, and therefore they're suspect regarding the laws of demai. That is, that we're not sure if they took off the appropriate tithes from the grain, from their wine, from their products. Now, the reason why we're bringing here this Gemara is because we had previously mentioned the idea that even the animals of the righteous, they don't stumble in halacha, meaning they're not fed something forbidden, and for sure not the righteous themselves. And therefore, we bring this discussion over here, which comes to that same idea that it would seem like one of the Amiram would have sinned, even by mistake, and that the Gemara says it's not possible because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cause them to stumble, definitely not in the area of eating, even by mistake. So the story goes that Aisulu Kamayu Beyim Hamutsumakis. They brought in front of Reb Zeira and Abasi these well done eggs, like the word mitzdamik v'yafalai, that's very well cooked. And afterwards, it was very well cooked, they went and they took these eggs and they mixed it together, b'yayin, in wine. Now, wine itself has halachic problems of demai, because it has to have tithe, and if not, then one would have to take off, when they take from Manama Aretz, regarding this produce, they would have to take off their own tithes. Now, the thing is, in this story, since it wasn't out in the open, they weren't given wine itself, it was mixed together with the eggs, so therefore they weren't aware that it had wine inside of it, they weren't paying attention. Now, Reb Zera lo yachal, Reb Zera did not eat from these eggs, Reb Asi achal, he did eat from it. So, Amalei Reb Zera l'Ravasi, Reb Zera said to Reb Asi, v'loi chayish mar l'tarubis demai, isn't the master concerned for, yeah, the eggs are not problematic, but in it is mixed the wine, which could have a problem with demai, that's mixed in. How can you eat it without tithing it first? So Malay, Sir Abasi said to him, "Oh, labadatoy, I didn't realize. I was just thought we're eating eggs. That's not a problem. They give kosher food. I didn't realize that it has this problem of tithes of the wine in it." Now Amar Bzeira, he says, "Efshar, is it possible that if it would be that Gazral Tarubas Demai, that if the rabbinic decree of Demai applied even with a mixture of something that would have a possible tevel problem, that would be the case that there is an obligation to tithe it. Umistaye milstad ravasi, and that it could be caused a sin that he would not have paid attention and been conscious on something that they made a decree, and then it turns out that regarding something that was rabbinically forbidden, lamechel isura, that ravasi went and ate something that's forbidden. But said Reb Zera, hashta behem neshal tzadikim, if regarding the animals of the righteous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be takal al yadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a sin of stumbling, even through the animal of a righteous. Tzadikim atzim lekoshkin, so the righteous themselves, isn't it all the more so for sure that it can't be that he had stumbled and eaten something even rabbinically forbidden? So nafik Reb Zera, so Reb Zera went out, and dak v'ashkach, he went out and he analyzed and he found that actually they didn't make the gzera of demai on taruvus. Tetznan, which actually Bryce says we learned, halakeach yain, someone purchases wine, which that's something that has to be tithed. Now, but he's buying it not to consume it straight up, but rather losses latoich amurias. He wants to put it into brine, where that's how they're going to end up consuming the wine, by having it mixed together with the brine. aluntis, or he was buying the wine because he wants to put into aluntis, which is a mixture of water and wine and the balsamic oil, as the Gemara says, or if let's say he's buying karshinin, vetch, lasses mentachinin, because he wants to make this dish that's made out of vetch with some spices that's mixed together. And so too, let's say adashim, he's buying lentils, lasses and resisim, to make this dish made out of lentils. Now, so the chiddush over here in this halacha, the brayis, is that even though these items that he's buying from the Am Aretz, he doesn't intend to eat straight up, he wants to mix it in part of a mixture. But since when he bought it from the Am Aretz, this Talmud Chacham bought it straight up and it wasn't mixed yet. So therefore it says the brayis, a chayv mishum demai, so there is the rabbinic obligation of demai. If let's say there's doubt when he's buying from Am Aretz, he doesn't know if he took off the appropriate tithes or not, he has to go ahead and take off the tithes before he goes ahead and consumes it. Now, the insar chlem mishum vade, and we don't have to say in a definite situation if the seller, the Am Aretz, tells him, I didn't separate from it, then of course you have to separate the tithes from these items, which are items that are obligated in the laws of Maisa. Now, however, continues the Braisa, but behein atzmon, but these dishes themselves, if someone buys from the Am Aretz the total dish, with the brine that has the wine mixed in it, or the dish of the vetch that has the vetch and all the spices mixed in with it, that actually, says the Raisa Amrutaran, is permitted. You don't have to separate tithes from that as the law of demai. Why? Says the Raisa Mimnesha Hinta Ravis, because when he got it from it, he already bought it from him in a mixed state. Oh, in a mixed state, that never had the halach of demai, which is only rabbinic concern in the first place. They never said on taruvus, therefore Reb Zera said, Reb Asi didn't sin, because although that there was wine mixed in, and he didn't separate tithe, there was no gezer of demai on taruvus. Now, that is the Gemara, but the gezer of taruvus demai, is that really so? There was no rabbinic law of demai if it's a mixture? But Vatanya learned the Braisa, it says, Hanoisin l'shchentai. Someone gives to his female neighbor, the wife of an Am Aretz, he gives her isa lefis, he gives her a dough to bake, and he gives her the leavening agents, or kadir levashel, he gives her a pot to cook, and he gives her all the spices. Says the Braisa, ein cheshish l'sa'or b'tavon shabbat, he doesn't have to be concerned about the yeast and the spices that maybe she swapped the ingredients, and she actually put in from her own ingredients which were not properly tithes, because we don't suspect that they would steal. And therefore, there's no concern of lemishim shvius. We don't have to be concerned that maybe she put in her own shemitah produce for lemishim meiser. Not because we're not concerned about the laws of meiser that maybe it's not tithed. We don't have to be concerned because since you gave her all the ingredients, she's not going to swap it. But vim amala asay limishalechi. But if let's say he told her that look, he gives her the dough and he says, okay, but make it from your own ingredients, meaning put in your own yeast and your own spices. Oh, then chayshish l'sar b'tavon shabbat. Then you have to be concerned for her ingredients, the yeast and the spices that she's putting in. Mishum shvius, you might have shemitah produce problems. Mishum meisa, you might have the problems of that she didn't properly tithe it. And therefore, you have to go ahead and when you take it from her, you have to separate demai from it. Even though when you're getting it from her, it's mixed into the dough, it's mixed into the dish. So you see that there is a concern of demai, even though taravis in the mixture. Says the Gemara, no, shani hasam. There in that brace is different. The kivin the ka'amar law, aseili mishalichi, because since he's telling her, make it from your own, put in your spices, command the arv biyadayim dami. It's like he himself goes and mixes it into his dish. In other words, it's like he bought from her this spice before it's mixed in, and then he mixes it together, because it's being done based on his word. It's almost like she's his agent, as if he's buying from her the spice, and then telling her, okay, mix it in. So that's not getting it from her in the state of Tarabis. It's getting it like directly and then having her put in for you. And therefore, that's not considered getting in the state of Tarabis. And that's why there's obligation of demai in that situation. Or another approach, Raframam, he says, no, generally a mixture is not a problem. But that last brisa, shani sa'ar v'tavlin, yeast and spices, they're different. The latayma of it, what are they there for? They're there to give taste. Of a taima like bottle. In regards to the laws of Tarabis, something that's made latayma, that's there to give taste, is different. That's not nullified. Because since it rectifies the whole thing, it's primary, it gives taste to the whole thing, and therefore, even if he would buy a fully made dish from Am Aretz that has yeast or spice in it, where it's not even like the previous answer the Gemara gave, where she's his agent to mix it, it would still be forbidden according to this approach of Raphram, because it's giving a taste. Giving taste is not bottom. We consider like this thing is extant, is as if it's right here, as if it's primary, and it's the item of that requires demai itself. But that's not difficult on the incident of Rabami. of the previous Gemara of Rav Asi, where when you had wine in the Murya, so like the previous Brisa, so the wine and the eggs, there it's not primary, and therefore there it's going to be permitted. That is, like we said, Tarivis is not problematic. Here, it's different because it's a Tarivis of Sar and Tavim, which gives taste. That's going to be forbidden, even though it's Tarivis, because we view it as if it's the primary, and that's why it's forbidden. But again, it's not difficult on, like Reb Zeira had found, the resolution of Rav Asi, that a Tarivis of Demai generally is permitted. Now, however, the Gemara asks on the Brisa, is that really so that we're not concerned that an Amma Oretz, the wife of Amma Oretz, is not going to go ahead and swap ingredients? Because the Brisa said that, which was not the primary thing we bring the Brisa for, which was the first half. We wanted it for the second half. But the Brisa had said that if he gives her all the ingredients, okay, then you could go ahead and you don't have to take any Meiser on Demai when you get it back from her, because we don't have to be concerned that she swapped any. If you gave her the dough and the spices, the leavening agents in the dish, you give it all, then you don't have to have any concerns. Obviously, because we're not concerned that she swapped. Is that so? And that is the Gemara, but what's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechta's Demai that says, if someone gives a dough to his mother-in-law to bake, says the Mishnah, he has to tithe it before he gives it to her, and he has to tithe it also when he takes it back from her, because maybe she had swapped, and therefore we see that we are concerned that she would swap. Now, the reason for this is, says the Mishnah, because she suspects that she would swap the dough that gets ruined. Meaning, she's baking her son-in-law's bread, and it gets ruined, it gets burned, something happens to it, she would swap it. So therefore, you have to type that when you give it to her, because if she's going to swap it, we don't want that this Talmudic scholar, the son-in-law, should have be considered like he was causing his mother-in-law to stumble, because she's going to be eating untithed bread now, because it's the dough that he gave her, and she's swapping it. She's eating it, and she's giving him new ones. Now, the new ones that she's giving him, he can't trust his Amma Oretz mother-in-law, so he has to tithe that. Additionally, he has to tithe it before he gives it to her, because she might eat it herself, and he's going to cause her to stumble. But one thing we see is that Eishes Amma Oretz is suspected to go ahead and swap the ingredients. How can we go ahead and say in the previous Brisa that you could just go ahead and take it back and not do any Meiser if you give all the ingredients? Says Gemara, no, Hossam, as the Gir says, Kedetani Taimah. There it's different, as the Mishnah there actually explains, her intention is for good purposes. But in regards to stealing, for example, like a random person who she has no intention to swap it to do him a favor, then we don't suspect that she would even do it in a harmful way to go ahead and take the ingredients for herself and give him other, let's say, inferior ingredients. Because as the Mishnah there says, Amar Bihuda, he says, Reitzi batakanis bita. Why would she swap the bread that she baked for her son-in-law? Because she wants the better for her daughter. Uboishim mechasana, she's embarrassed of her son-in-law. He asks his mother-in-law to bake him bread, and she comes back with this dilapidated, broken-down piece of bread. So that's where she would swap it, but not to steal. In other words, in the previous Bryce that we spoke about, that if someone's giving his neighbor, the Eishes Amma Oretz, to bake, if he gave all the ingredients, she's not going to do him any favors, so we're not concerned that she's swapping it for that. But neither she's going to do anything harmful, because even here where we say that she would swap is only as Lataiva, but no one, even Eishes Amma Oretz, would not go ahead and steal the ingredients and swap that to be concerned that, oh, maybe we have to go ahead and take tithes because she went and put in untithed ingredients. Now, however, the Zigmar continues to base, is that really so? Uliyama, but that in general, when it's a situation that we don't have to think that maybe she's trying to do a favor, that loichashinan, that we're not concerned that maybe she swapped it because she wants to take the better ingredients for herself and, let's say, put inferior ingredients to the one that they gave her for her to bake it or to cook. But vatnan, we learn a different Mishnah, Masechta Demai, that says, hanoisin lepundikis shaloi. If someone gives a dough to the place that he's dwelling, to his innkeeper, to the place where he's renting by, to go ahead and bake the dough for him or cook the dish for him. So it says the Mishnah, Ma'asa Eshu Naisimla, so he has to tithe it before he gives it to her. The Eshu Naitlaman, he has to tithe it when he takes it back from her. Why? Because she suspects that she might go ahead and swap the ingredients. Now, over here, we can't say, like we said before with the mother-in-law, that it's Lataiva, that she wants to do a favor, because some random guy is living in her apartment. She's not out to go ahead and do him favors. Now, additionally, this Mishnah Masechta's Demai doesn't say Hameskalkel, that she might switch the ingredients that got ruined. Obviously, it's not because I've got ruined and to do a favor. Rather, because she might steal it. And she might like his ingredients and give him some second grade type of ingredients. So you see that they are suspect regarding stealing. How could we have said in the previous halacha that, okay, we're not suspecting that price. We said if you give all the ingredients, you don't have to tithe it when you take it back. Says the Gemara, no, it's still like we maintained before. Hasem Nami, there also, in the case that we just brought in this Mishnah, Masechtas Demai, her intention is for the good. Now, although it didn't say that she's going to swap it because of Hameskalkal, of that the bread, let's say, or the dish might have gotten ruined, it's because the halacha applies even if it wouldn't get ruined. Even if only the bread that she made for him would have gotten cold before he would eat it, she would still swap it. Because Maria, she would go ahead and rule for herself, Va'amrin, she'll say, I'm doing it for his benefit. Barbi Rav Lechel Chamima, let the Talmudic scholar who has boards by my house, let him eat the warm bread, Va'ano Echel Karira, and I'll eat the cold bread. But in the situation, like in the previous brisa we had mentioned, when a man's giving to his female Amma Oritz neighbor, there's no concern, because she's not going to swap it to do him a favor, because he's not reliant on her. He's not like someone who boards by her house, so she's going to be thinking how she has to do favors for him. And neither is she going to do anything bad for him, because like we said, we don't find anywhere to suspect that they would go ahead and steal it. And that's why we said that it's okay in that situation, that you don't have to be ma'asrit when you get it back from her. And that the Gemara continues to ask, what? V'lechalufe, but to swap because of stealing Leicha Shinan, we're not concerned that Eishas Am Aretz will go ahead and take something that's not really hers and steal it and to swap it. But V'tanya learned the following brisa. Eishas Chaver Techenes, the wife of a Talmudic scholar, could grind, meaning she could assist by doing the mill when she's grinding the grain of Am Aretz, im Eishas Am Aretz, together with the wife of the Am Aretz, whose grain they're grinding. So the wife of a Talmud Chacham could grind with them, only bizman shehi, only when she, the Eishas Chaver, is Tameya, when she herself is richly impure. We're not concerned that maybe she might forget and put the food that she's grinding into her mouth, which is untithe, because we're told by Amaratzim that we're concerned that they don't tithe their produce. Now, why is it okay when she's Tameya? Because when a woman is Tameya, they're not accustomed to touching what they're involved with, because it might make a Tameya. And generally, they stay far away, and they're not going to touch it. So she could grind, because they're not concerned she can put it in her mouth, because she knows, oh, I'm tummy. I don't usually touch things when I'm tummy. Avaloi bizman she tar, but says the Tanna Kamma, but not when she's tar. Because generally, when a person is tar, so they allow themselves to touch the things. We're concerned that if she's touching, she might just go ahead and forget and put it in her mouth and eat it. When people are working with food, they just put it in their mouth. And that's a problem, because by Amma Aretz, we have to be concerned that their produce is untithe. He says, no, he says, not like the Tanna Kamma, even when she's richly impure, she's not going to go ahead and grind together with the Eishas Am Aretz. Why? Because her friend, the Eishas Am Aretz, she will give to the Eishas Chaver the untithed produce, and then the Eishas Chaver will eat it. So obviously we see that the Eishas Am Aretz is suspect of stealing from her husband to feed her friend, which she has no permission from her husband. Now, the Eishas Chaver, even though she's not accustomed, definitely not to eat stuff that are stolen, and not to eat stuff that are not properly tithed, but that's what Reb Shimon Lozer is saying, we're concerned that she might forget, because generally people eat stuff that people hand to them. Someone hands you something, you go ahead and you eat it. And therefore, even when she's tummy, he's concerned that maybe the Eishas Am Aretz is going to go ahead and give her. Because regarding giving to someone else, if the Eishas Am Aretz wasn't suspect and accustomed to steal, that's not something that you forget. And if Reb Shimon Lozer is concerning that she might give to the Eishas Chaver, so therefore you see that we're suspecting her that she would steal from her husband. So says the Gemara, Zahashta Migzal Gazla, if we find the Eishas Am Aretz would steal from her husband, Chalufi Mibay, do we have to tell you that for sure she would swap ingredients with a husband, with a neighbor that's giving her something to cook? Why did we say in that previous brisa that you don't have to be concerned? Why not? If she steals, for sure she would even swap. So the Gemara, no, Amar Rav Yisav, he says, no, Hasam Nami Mar. You know, there also is the same idea we're saying in all the previous answers, that she rules, she's what's called Mater for herself, she permits it, and she rules, V'amar, she says, no, Tura Midishe Ka'achal, an ox is allowed to eat from what it's threshing. In other words, she's what's called Mayra Heter, she rules permissibly for herself, and she says, wait, my friend, she's helping out. That's not considered stealing. Of course she could eat with what she's working, which is not really the case. Really, it's not permitted. But that's why she would do it. But just to go straight out and steal ingredients to swap it, that we're not concerned. It's only when she's Mayra Heter, when she rationalizes, when she's trying to do a favor, that's when we're concerned. But again, that previous brisa still is valid when we said that if he gave all the ingredients, he doesn't have to be concerned she's going to swap because she wouldn't steal. It's only situations like we brought either for the better or as a rationalization, only then would she go ahead and take or swap ingredients. Now the Gemara goes back regarding the same idea that was being brought in the previous Gemaras, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a stumbling block even on the animals of the righteous, the righteous themselves. So the Gemara brings the following halacha. Hey, Rabbi Shua ben Zaris testified, he was ben Cham of Shal Reb Meir, who was the brother-in-law, the son of the father-in-law of Reb Meir. He testified lefnei Rebbe, from the Rebbe, al Reb Meir, regarding Reb Meir, she'achal ola shel yerek be'Beit Shan, that he ate the leaf of a vegetable in Beit Shan without tithing it. And as we said, it's not possible that a righteous person would have by mistake done something and violated an Isser. So we see Reb Meir was eating the vegetables untithed in Beit Shan. So they hit the Rebbe. So based on this testimony, Rebbe went and he permitted at Beit Shan Kuloi, the entire area of Beit Shan, to eat its vegetables and its fruits in an untithed state, al yodai, based on this testimony of Rabbi Shua ben Zaris. Now, the assumption of the halacha right now is because Rabbi Meir held that Beit Shan was not part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the grain meiser out of Eretz Yisrael is rabbinically halacha. Why? Because since in Eretz Yisrael it's biblical, so therefore, in Chutz La'aretz, rabbinically, they said it's also required. Now, but the Meiser of Yerakas, like what we're talking about here in this story regarding vegetables, where in Eretz, and fruit trees, where in Eretz Yisrael, it's only rabbinic, so there they didn't make it even rabbinically required out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, because if it was Beit Shan was considered part of Eretz Yisrael, although Reb Meir and Rebbe were after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, however, still the Gemara tells in Yuma that Meiser Dagan, the grain Meiser, Bizman Azeh, even today's times, is biblical. And Maisa Yerik is still rabbinic. The reason for that is because the last sanctity of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, and Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra, by the second Beis HaMikdash, that sanctity was for all future times. Because as we're bringing over here, we said Rebbe permitted Beit Shan, obviously is that all the other places, the sanctity still applied. So what we see in this story is that if Reb Meir ate Allah of Yerik in Beit Shan, which that's only permitted even Bizman Azeh out of Eretz Yisrael, obviously Beit Shan is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Because even if this would have been by mistake, he would not have had a stumbling block, as we see for sure in areas of eating, even the animals of Tzadikim don't stumble. So Rebbe said, obviously Beit Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it's permitted. So he said, Beit Shan, you don't have to tithe, although you don't have to tithe Maisi Rakas and of a Priya Elam. Now, Chibru Lav Achiv Beis Av. However, the brothers and the household of Rebbe ganged up on Rebbe, and Amrli, they said to him, Makrim Shabbesecha Vavoisa Besecha Nogu Bayisr, a place, meaning referring to Beit Shan, that your fathers and your father's fathers, they all treated as prohibited as part of Eretz Yisrael, that you have to tithe it, Atta Tinig Bahetta, you're going to go ahead and treat it as a permissible area, that you don't have to take off Meisr anymore on your ruckus? So Darsh Le Mikra Zeh, so he expounded to them the following pasuk, that it's not an area of concern that if my fathers didn't rectify this area and show this halacha that it's permitted, that means I'm doing something wrong. Because the Pasuk Melachim Beis regarding Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda says, V'kisis nechash hanachashas, he crushed the copper snake, Asha Asa Moshe, which was made in the days by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki ad hayam mahema, because up until those days, Hayu b'nei Yisrael mekachim loy, the Jewish people sacrificed to this copper snake, and they called it Nechushasin, this copper thing, which is because they treat it like a Avodah Zarah, and therefore came along Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, and he ground it up and he destroyed it, because it was being used as an idol. Now the question is, is it possible that the King Asa, who came before Chizkiyahu Melech, came along and he didn't eradicate this Avodah Zarah? But Yashavit v'le Biyaroi, the righteous King Yashavit came along and he didn't eradicate it? But every idol in the world, Asa v'yashavet bi'aram, Asa v'yashavet, they liquidated it. How is it possible that Chizkiyahu, who only came later, that he got rid of this Avodah Zarah? Rather, as we continue to have Zayin and Aleph, Elamokum enichula avoysub l'eskadabai, says Rebbe to his brothers, to his family, says his fathers left him over space to become great. Because they were saying, when our sons come after us, if they don't find any area to rectify the world, what's going to make them great? So they left him, although they eradicated a little bit of design, they left him something to institute. Afani mokam hanichula avoysai l'zgadabai. So says Rebbe, my fathers also left me an area to become great in, and that is, although the halacha is that it's permitted and they didn't do it, that's because they leave space, there is this divine area of where it's left over for future generations, it's not a contradiction, as we find in this insert with Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda, that although the earlier generations, they didn't do it, that he came along and did it, say so too over here, although my fathers, they didn't permit it, it doesn't contradict the halacha that I'm instituting, again, which is based on this testimony of what Reb Meir had done, that Beit Shan obviously is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore one does not have to tithe the vegetables and the fruits of the trees, which are not the biblical meiser, in bizman hazeh, or at any time, because it's considered part of chutz laretz and not part of Eretz Yisrael.